Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. I appreciate Jason's message. As is usual, there's a pretty strong tie between the two of them. It never ceases to amaze me when there's no conversation, but you have that. You have the spirit. Weave the messages together, and I'm always encouraged by that. It's been a while since I've spoken here. I almost feel like I need to introduce myself. I'm a little out of practice. Having Josh here for the last year has really kind of reduced my role to this regard anyway. And I've been actually thankful. It's been nice, but I am out of practice, so it feels a little odd to stand here, quite honestly. I think the last time was trumpets, and that was not even here. And so anyway, it's been a while since I've had the opportunity to speak, and therefore I do feel a little nervous. Anyway, I'll get started because I don't want to keep you any later than we have to. So when one contemplates the Christian walk that we're on, and it's often considered a walk, and we look at it as a walk, it's just as important to think about the things that we discard as we go along this path, as we take this walk as a Christian and we're going along. We look at the things that we put down sometimes, that we leave behind, particularly if we think about the old man. And what we put down or discard is just as important as those things that we pick up or gather. Certainly we have to learn. We're called to learn. We're called to grow. So we do pick up things. We learn things. But it is very important that we learn to put things down as well, or put things away from us. In fact, that skill of learning to let things go, or casting things away from us, or laying things aside from us, is very paramount to our spiritual growth. And our development. You know, Jason talked about moving forward and growing. Our ability to put things away from us is very, very important to our spiritual growth. In fact, our future life, the future life that Jason spoke of, that is dependent on our ability to leave parts of our former life, or even our current life, in the past. So it's a very fundamental concept of Christianity, is learning to leave our past behind us. Otherwise, there is no progress, right? There is no growth. If we live in the past, then we have not progressed. Most of us, I'd say probably all of us, have things in our lives that are holding us back. There are things that we have in our lives that are holding us back from a greater fulfillment. A greater freedom, greater growth, and greater accomplishment in that spirit, in that light that Jason spoke of. In a spiritual sense, we often need to cast off our personal habits. Those habits that we have, those characteristics in our lives that can lead us to sin in our lives. And we know sin is that what really holds us back. And what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking specifically in one set of scripture about, of course it wasn't scripture then, in his sermon, speaking about lust and desire, which leads specifically to adultery. And he gave this admonition in the form of hyperbole. And I'd like to turn there and read it, Matthew 5:29. If you would, turn to Matthew 5:29. And you're very familiar with this. We've heard it our whole lives. If you've been in church your whole life, any church, I'm sure, would have. Any Christian church has read this, no matter where you are. You've heard this from your youth, probably. Matthew 5, verse 29. You can read things like this sometimes because it is hyperbole, and it can be hard to understand. But I don't think for us it's hard to understand. Verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Continuing in verse 30, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now, although Christ was obviously using exaggeration here for effect, he was exaggerating, right? I don't think he was really asking someone to reach and pluck their eye out or cut their arm off and throw it away. The imperative was not lost on his audience. They knew what he was saying. Our eternal lives, our future, like theirs at the time, depends on our willingness to take very bold actions in our lives. Sometimes we have to take drastic measures in our lives to remove from us those things that offend. Because there are things in our lives that we live with that are offensive. They're offensive to us. Yet sometimes it's hard to cast them away. Sometimes it's as hard as plucking your own eye out or cutting your own arm off. And that's the point that he was trying to make. Recently, I had the opportunity again to do a hike in the North Georgia Mountains, part of the Appalachian Trail. Every year, a group of us try to do that. And every year, I learn lessons. It's fun. You meet people and you learn lessons, and this year was no different. Although, personally, I didn't really have any challenges. Woohoo! You know, that hasn't always been the case, those of you who've been here a while. Very easy time. But we had the opportunity to meet a few people on the trail. And one of which really brought this point home to me. And I want to relate a story. So we, each day we would only hike a certain number of miles. And we would get into camp pretty early as we were going. So one day we came into camp. And there were three people in the camp area doing maintenance. They're part of an organization that helps maintain the trail and maintain the shelters and the environs in the campsites. And these three people were a unique bunch. We pitched in to help them, but there was a couple, a man and a wife, both in their 70s. He was 79 years old, and he's out on the Appalachian Trail. And with them was another lady, several years older than me, and she had a prosthetic leg. As we had the opportunity after the work was done, and later on, I was sitting around a campfire, and I took the opportunity. Others that were with us might have heard her story prior to, but I did not. So I took the opportunity when it was just two of us just to ask her. I was curious. I mean, you don't often see people with a prosthetic out on a rugged trail. The Appalachian Trail is rugged, and it was just kind of, it's peculiar to see that, and particularly an older person. So just ask her about what happened to her. How did she end up with a prosthetic? And so she relayed that when she was 18 years old, she was playing football, backyard football with the guys, and someone clipped her. And if you're familiar with football, you know what a clip is. It's basically a tackle below the knees, you know, a low tackle, broke her leg, and in the process of falling, crushed her ankle, shoved the bone down into her ankle, crushed her leg basically completely. And obviously she's been dealing with that for a very, very long time. So 30 years, she said 30 years and 19 surgeries later, she had lived with the wreckage of that decision, that thing that happened to her. And she found herself coming to grips with the reality that she could no longer do the things or have any semblance of a life that she wanted to have. Obviously, this is a very athletic person, a very outdoors person, to be doing what she's doing. And she realized that her life was ending from the perspective of the life that she wanted to live, the goals that she wanted to attain. She had the decision of whether to sit in a wheelchair or do something else. And that's really as simple as it came for her. So after searching and finding a physical therapist, she went about on a search to find a physical therapist who would take her as a patient And after interviewing many physical therapists, she found the one that she felt would fit her personality because she was about to embark on something. And she then went to find a surgeon who would cut her leg off. And it's a, you know, she had doctored that leg for a long, long time. 30 years she had been trying to save her leg. But she, and she said, you wouldn't believe how hard it was to find somebody who would willingly cut off my leg. But for her, it was a no-brainer. When she found the therapist and she found the surgeon, her decision was easy in her mind. Because that leg was holding her back. It was a ball and chain to her. So to get rid of it, to cut it off, became an easy decision for her. It had become such a burden in her life to carry. It was wasting her time. It was causing too much unnecessary pain. And she did not hesitate to do what she had to do. Well, for her, the work obviously had just begun. Hours and hours, days, months, years of therapy, exercise, care and attention to maintaining that leg now. More therapy, more work. You can only imagine. Because this is not a person who decided to be still. She didn't just want to live. She wanted to live the life that she wanted to live. It was her life. And she wanted to live to her utmost potential. While I was sitting there, I was very inspired by her story. Obviously, or I wouldn't be telling you about it. But I was also found myself very embarrassed. Very ashamed of the things that I let hold me back. The seemingly small, insignificant, almost pathetic things that I let hold me back in my life. The things that I'm unwilling to tackle that seem too big, too insurmountable to address. Do we evaluate our spiritual health, our spiritual condition in terms of the goal that has been set before us? Because ultimately, what we do with our lives comes down to what goal do you have in your life? What goal do you have in your life? Are we preparing ourselves to be fit for that race? Because it is a race. We are in a race. or will we become incapacitated? Will we become crippled by the burdens and the weights of this life? Will we allow ourselves to be weighed down to the point that we're ineffective for the goal, for the work that we have been called to do? If you would turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 follows Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter, where we read about people who endured in terrible, fascinating, challenging things in their lives. And yet they persevered and they endured. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, we'll read what the writer of Hebrews records. Again, referencing Hebrews 11, he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," referring to those that he spoke of, wrote of in Hebrews 11, "let us lay aside," or "let us cast off," "let us put away every weight, every burden, everything that would hold us back. Let us cast off every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." As I said, we are in a race. It's an endurance race. It's not a sprint. We are in a race. But that race has been set before us. That goal, as I mentioned earlier, that is a goal that has been set before us. We didn't set the goal there necessarily. God called us to this race. And he sets the goal out there. And he didn't call people who were unable to attain that goal. He did not look at a group of people and say, I'm going to call this bunch, but you know, I know that I don't expect any of them to really make it. This is not the impossible race. It is a race he intends to complete. But are we willing to do our part to complete this race? Verse 2, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Again, the beginning. He's the one who started this for us. The author and the finisher of our faith. He will get us there, but he's also started us on this path. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He despised the shame. He sat and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you, yourself, lest we become discouraged in our bodies. Lest we, in our minds, become discouraged by the things that weigh us down. The things that burden us. Let's consider what our Savior has done before we allow ourselves to have our little pity party. Verse 4, because you yet have not resisted to bloodshed. Striving against sin. Most of us have not. People do. People die. There are people martyred. Not necessarily striving against sin, but for obedience. But he's talking about for fighting this fight, for enduring this race, have we yet resisted to the point of shedding blood? As we enter every new year, Jason mentioned the new year, and speaking more of the holy day season and calendar, but we're entering a physical year here. Most of us don't think in terms of resolutions. We don't do resolutions necessarily. But every year when we cross that calendar and enter the new year, we do start thinking about that annual year of God's plan. And for me, every January, I start thinking about the Passover. I start thinking about the renewal of that covenant that I made at baptism. And I'm sure all of you do the same thing. It's a time of renewal. It's a time of recommitment. It's a time of self-reflection. It's a time for us to take stock of our spiritual health. With the rest of this message, I want us to consider a few things that we may choose. Just some ideas that we may choose to leave behind this year. A few things that we may want to set aside. A few burdens that we might want to consider dropping. Because we're not going to achieve the race if we become bogged down. If we allow ourselves to get weighted down to the point we're handicapped. And it can happen. If you would, let's look at 1 John 1. We'll start in 1 John 1 to look at the things that we may want to leave behind. Things that we may want to leave behind. 1 John 1, starting in verse 5. This is a message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is light. Well, we just heard about light, didn't we? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's basically saying God is perfect, and God is unwavering. And there is no evil in God. It's all good. It's all light. In verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. We have a responsibility in this relationship we have with God. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another as well. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we stay in the light, If we stay in that fellowship, we are cleansed from all sin. Not some sin. Not only the sins that you can forgive yourself of. Not only the sins that others can forgive you of. You are cleansed from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves, obviously. And the truth is not in us. Yet it would be the opposite problem. It would be the problem of self-righteousness. But verse 9, if we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us from anything. Name it. Name the most hideous thing you can do, and you can be cleansed from it. And again, to emphasize, all unrighteousness. And why do I read this? I read it because there's things that we refuse to let go of. There are things in our lives that we refuse to put aside. There are things in our lives that we want to carry around with us like a burden, like a bag. We want to just put it in a suitcase and carry it around with us our whole life because we refuse to let it go. God let it go years ago. Is God unable to forgive us even if you can't forgive yourself? We need to learn to let go. We need to learn to let go of things that we've repented for. If we've truly repented for it, we need to let it go. A lot of people can't let it go. Oh, I just can't. God could never forgive me of that. And they carry it around like a burden. You may not be one of those persons. And perhaps we are. Do we revisit every Passover? Do we revisit the same thing that we've already been forgiven of? We're familiar with Psalm 103, verse 12. I'm not going to turn there. But how far is east from west, brethren? How far is it? God says He puts it that far away from you. How far is it? Take off walking west. See how far you can walk. How far away from God is your sin? See, academically, we understand that, right? Academically, we can say, God forgives us. I know that. But our brains are little. Our brains are kind of small at times, aren't they? And we're so skeptical. We're so skeptical because our memories are so different than God's. God has the capacity to put something away and remember it no more. We don't. I don't think we do. We can't let go of things. We don't seem to have that capacity. Our minds don't work the way God's work. They're limited in a sense. Our minds are limited by our own willingness to stretch them. Sometimes we fail to stretch our minds. See, some things are impossible for us when we act on our own. But nothing is impossible when God is acting through us and with us. If we ask, God will help us get over those past things. See, we have to, like the rich man, get through that eye of the needle. You know, the disciples, when they were asking about the, you know, how does, he says, a rich man, it's harder for him to enter the kingdom than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And so they were amazed. How do you do that? How do you, if they can't enter the kingdom, who can? He said, well, it is impossible for you. There are things that are impossible for people. For us personally, it's hard for us to forget things. Our memories hold on to things. But with God, He said, all things are possible. We can let go. And we must let go. We will never reach the fulfillment. We will never reach those goals if we hold on to the baggage that holds us down. We need to leave our past sins in the past, brethren, and we need to go and sin no more. Move forward. Jason mentioned it in his message. We have to move forward. It is our goal. We don't have a choice. We have to leave the past in the past. The future is in the future. And we have to start thinking in terms of the future. We'll move on. What else are we going to leave behind this year? What else can we leave behind this year? Jason read the works of the flesh. Can we cast off? Can we get rid of? Can we lay aside our pride, our vanity, and our selfishness, our stubbornness, our temper, our evil speaking, our jealousies and our anger, our entitlements, the things we think we deserve? Can we put those away? Can we put away our gossip and any other vile habit that we have, that we hold on to? Things that stain our character. Things that cling to us like a weight, like a burden strapped across us. Things that weigh us down. I think some of us, I feel like I've been dragging the same old ball and chain around for 30 years. Not my wife. Different ball and chain. I'm in trouble too, Eric. Sorry. But we drag this thing around with us until it becomes a part of who we are. Here comes Tim with his old burden he's carrying with him. He's been the same old jerk since I've known him. It becomes our personality, these things that we need to get rid of. It becomes part of who we are. And we'll start blaming it on things like, oh, it's just family trait. It's just the way I am. We'll make any excuse to carry that baggage around with us and not let it go. Because it's too hard to make that decision. It's sometimes just too hard to do it. It takes something dramatic. We have to look at it like plucking out the eye or cutting off the arm. We have to take action to do these things, to leave these bad habits behind. Let's look real quickly at Colossians 3, verses 8. Verse 8, Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. If I can find it. It says, but now you yourselves are to put off these things. Put them off. Don't put them on. You're to put these things off. You're going to cast them away from you. You're going to put off anger, and you're going to put off wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy language out of your mouth. Filthy language is a hard one for me. I was a redneck kid. Farm boys, they have bad language. Just the way it is. Put it out of your mouth. Get it out of your mind. It's a conscious decision. Do not lie to one another. Do we lie? Little white lies, are they okay? Do we have a habit of it? Do we just stretch the truth a little bit? It's still a lie. The slightest stretch is a lie. Since you have to put off the old man with his deeds, we got to bury the old man. We got to put him away. Put him off. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We are to be renewed in Christ's image. That's who we should see when we look in the mirror. We're going to reflect, as Jason said. That should be what reflects back. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. I'm down to verse 12 already. I skipped 11. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. It's interesting right here to note something. He's talking about putting things off, and then all of a sudden he just switches to putting things on. Because I mentioned right off the bat that you're a Christian walk, there's two things, right? You're putting some things you pick up as you go, and some things you take off as you go. So it's interesting, this lesson that's being taught right here, it seems to be, or it appears scripturally, that the best way to get rid of bad habits is to put on good habits. It's to develop good things, good character traits. And what many of us would refer to as fruits of the Spirit, right? Many of those good traits, those good qualities, are fruits of God's Spirit working in us. But if we make that conscious decision to make changes, we can replace our bad habits and we can put them off. Bearing with one another, verse 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. God wants more from us, brethren. He wants more from us. He called us to finish this race that we are called to. He wants us to develop. He wants to develop us in the image of His very own Son. He wants to look at us and see a reflection of His Son. He desires to lift the load. This baggage that we carry, He wants to take it away from us. He wants to free us from the burdens that we carry around in our lives and we're afraid to get rid of. And He wants to give us rest. You can refer and write in your notes, write down Matthew 11:28. You're very familiar with it. But it's talking about taking on His yoke. He wants to take those burdens and give you rest. That's what He's talking about. He wants you to give those things to Him. Let go. All right, third and final thing we're going to work on getting rid of this year, at least from my perspective. These are things for me, but I'm sure they probably fit most of us. I think we need to lay aside our accomplished ideals, not ideas. Those things that we have accomplished, the ideals in our life that we feel like we've achieved. This is a complicated one. I would ask the question, do you feel like you've come a long way since your calling? Perhaps since your baptism? Have you accomplished a lot of goals in your life? I'll relate, when I was younger, I set goals. In my youth, I set goals. I would set goals and then I would accomplish a goal and I'd set another goal and I would accomplish a goal. Somewhere along the line, I quit setting goals. And I just kind of started coasting. Mostly professional, but even in spiritual walk. I kind of quit setting goals. Maybe because I thought I'd already achieved. You know? Maybe I thought I'd already gotten there. Do we feel like we've already gotten there? Are we comfortable with who we are? Where we are in our lives? That's what I mean by accomplished ideals. Are we serving in a capacity which we never thought we would be able to serve? I actually am. I've been able to serve in a capacity that as a kid I thought I would never serve in a capacity like that. But am I comfortable with what little level of service that I did? Has God opened your eyes to great understanding? And has He blessed you in ways that you may not have even foresaw or expected in your life? And I'm going to say the answer is probably yes, He has. If you are sitting here and you understand the Word of God and you understand His plan and you feel His Spirit working in you, you've been blessed. You have attained some ideals in many ways. And it's not because you did it, but God has accomplished those things in you. So yes, I hope the answer is yes to all of these questions. But have we become comfortable with what we've done thus far? Perhaps we're a little too comfortable with what we've done thus far. Jason mentioned it earlier in his message. Our calling is one of continual improvement. We must always be moving forward. I have a great friend that worked for Toyota for years, and Toyota's whole philosophy was built on the premise of continuous improvement in relationships. But they drove continuous improvement all the time. Always. It was always at the forefront of their philosophy, and that's why they've been able to be the company they are. That's why their products are so renowned for quality, because they continuously improve. They're always looking for better ways of doing things. Do we have the philosophy of continuous improvement? There's always room for growth. There should be. In a Christian walk, there's going to always be room for growth, room for fresh ideas with regard to our own spiritual growth, room for fresh starts. It's okay to say, this year is going to be different, and then make a plan to go forward with that. If we feel that we are getting too comfortable resting on our oars, essentially, afloat in that water, then be very, very careful, because we may start drifting backwards. In fact, we probably will drift backwards. If we're resting, then we're drifting. We have to be moving forward, brethren. It's part of what we do. So let's look at how we can leave behind those ideals that we have. We have to always be pressing forward. There's no end to what we can learn. You can read this Bible through. I don't care if you read it 1,000 times. You're going to always learn something from it. Don't ever get comfortable that we know what's in God's Word. Because you will never stop learning. It's infinite. There's no end to our learning. There's no limits on our ability to serve. I don't care what capacity you serve in. You can always serve more. I don't think God rations His Spirit. I don't think He rations the spiritual gifts that you can develop. And He certainly doesn't ration your ability to work on your talents. We all have talents. Sometimes we question what our talents are, but we can learn to develop our talents. So let's put away the idea that we've achieved. We've not achieved. Let's look at Philippians 3, verse 12. Very beautiful passage. I think the entire book of Philippians is a beautiful book. Almost poetic the way it is written. Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me. Remember who gave you the goal. Who set the goal in front of you? Remember who set the goal out there. You were called for a purpose. The goal has been established for you. But you have to choose to press forward to attain that goal. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This is Paul writing, people. It's Paul. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, we already talked about that, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Always forward focused, always looking at where we have to go, not at what we've already done. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. He's leaning into His calling. He's pressing. We have to follow that example too. We are called to something incredible. Let's not rest on what we've already done. Good enough, brethren, is really never good enough. And the past is in the past. In order to move forward, we must put away our past accomplishments, and we have to look forward to what we still have in front of us. Because this race is not over until the race is over, and it's going to take endurance to continue. Let's set a goal in our lives for renewed zeal, for a passion for improvement in our lives. Both individually and collectively as a body, as a group here. Can we develop a passion and a zeal for improvement in this group? It starts with us individually, but it's part of the group. Can we do that? Is it possible? to care as much about the person sitting beside you or behind you as you do for yourself. It's part of what you're called to. People in general, we as people, we're very good at collecting things. We're pretty good at picking up stuff. I'm guessing if you go to most people's houses, they're going to have more junk than they know what to do with. I don't want to move ever because I don't want to figure out what to do with all the garbage in my house. Junk stored in attics, junk stored in the garages. We collect stuff like nobody's business. In our physical lives, those possessions, those things become burdens. Do they not? They weigh us down. Sometimes don't you just dream of just starting with nothing? Just clothes and just go out and start again. As we go through life, we pick up things too. Things that aren't necessarily good for us. We pick up burdens in our lives. We pick up mental burdens and spiritual burdens. Life is not easy. It's difficult. It's challenging. We end up with scars, mental scars. Those things become burdens on us. We end up with emotions. We have tender spots in our feelings because life beats us up. And those things can become burdens. We have sins that we aren't proud of. And we have a hard time letting go of them. Those things weigh us down. And we have to learn to put them aside. Put them out of our lives. If we're going to move forward, we're going to have to move forward. Because that's what God intended for us. He didn't intend for us to live in the past. As Christians, we are encouraged through God's word to cast off and to lay aside the burdens which beset us. And as I mentioned earlier, Christ encouraged his followers to cast their burdens on him. Just like the lady that I met on the trail, she was an inspiration. She really was. Do we have the faith, do we have the courage to get rid of the impediments in our lives? Can we make bold and drastic decisions to cast away those things that hinder our amazing, incredible future potential for growth and a fulfilling spiritual life? It's our choice.